Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
Let every heart say amen.
Amen.
If you're in the right house and you came to give God glory, can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Yes, sir. We're in the right house. Jesus. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If we could just be open and available to say, God, have your way. Whatever you want to do, reign over, take over, have your way. Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Everybody, he says, in all ye land. He says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. He says, and into his courts with praise. He says, enter into his courts, into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. He says, be thankful unto him and bless his name. He says, don't you know that the Lord is good? And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. For all of us, we get to, and it's not a got to, and we're here. And we ask now that we prepare our hearts and minds to let God be God. I just want to begin to pray because I want to get to this word. But before that, I don't know. Maybe you're here today, and maybe the way that you've been waiting on, maybe it has not been manifested yet. It could be that you've been praying for a thing for a while, and that thing has not become real to where you can see it. It may be that God has already made a way. I'm talking to somebody. Maybe it's to myself. And it doesn't look like what I've been praying for. But he will always make a way. And so whatever it is that maybe you're here today, and maybe your, I don't know, your mood, maybe your attitude is such to where you're downtrodden. Because the thing you've been waiting on, you're still waiting. Maybe the prayer you pray, you feel like has been landed on deaf ears. Maybe your situation in life has been the way it is for a long time. And I just stopped by to say, somebody, keep hope alive. Keep pressing. Keep pushing. Keep getting back up. Keep going. Because he will make a way. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. God, we are so captivated by you. Father, just one look from you can change everything. And God, my prayer now is that there'll be no distractions where you would hide me behind the cross. Father God, because the preaching of the gospel truly to some is foolishness, but unto those who are saved, it's the power of God. You say, God, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach except they be sent? So now, God, let the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, God, let it be just pleasing in your sight. And God, we know, Lord, that God, the enemy comes to kill and steal and to destroy. But God, you've come that we might have life and have it abundantly. So let this word hit its target. We pray that you would have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we have been working through various series, and we're in the Hope Stories series. I don't have a particular hope story. I don't have a particular Hope Elim story. But I can play back the reels of my mind as a videotape, and I can remember right here that there's been prayers that have been prayed that shifted things in people's lives. I can remember that right here, there's been couples who've come and prayed, and I know some marriages have shifted. I know of relationships with a mother and daughter and sons and daughters that has shifted because of prayer. There are hope stories in and throughout this place. Matter of fact, you're sitting right here right now, and you are a hope story. Amen. But there are some who's sitting here, and your story still is filled with some hurt. Some of you have had some church hurt in your life, and you said, well, I may not go back to church anymore because I can't believe what happened. And sometimes in that space, our story is not a good story. Sometimes our hope story has to do with death. I've stood right here, and I've officiated a number of funerals. Sometimes that happens. There are a number of Hope and Hope Elam stories in our lives. But this morning, while I could talk about the job that was resurrected and God made a way, I could talk about the addiction that was broken and how God made a way. I could talk about those marriages that was restored and how God made a way for adults. But this morning, my focus is on the children. The Bible says that children, a child, is a blessing. It's a gift. So that's where I'm going to have my focus. But before we get there, if you would just walk with me. The last time I was up here, we was talking about who is the greatest. And I remember talking about it because it was like, you know, Jesus was an earth flipper. He came to turn the world upside down. And what I talked about at that time, I said, well, okay, who's the greatest? Who's number one? Who's the best ever? The GOAT, who's the GOAT? And I reminded us, in the world standards, there's a lot of ways we can look at who's the best. But about the kingdom of God, there was only one. That's the Lamb of God. Forget the GOAT. We're talking about the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. And then I talked about it. I said, you know, the text was such when the disciples, they were arguing about who's the greatest. And they didn't know it, but Jesus heard them. And Jesus, when they got to where they were going, he said, what y'all talking about? And they didn't want to say nothing. So Jesus said, look, the person who's going to be greatest among you have to take last place. And so what I try to say is that in many ways, if you're going to be great, you've got to take last place. You've got to serve. You've got to sacrifice. You've got to surrender. What I did say is you got to flip. And when you flip the script, you realize that you've got to go low. The question was, how low can you go? Like, in humility, like if you want to be great, it's about how your heart can be broken to a place to where you can care for others and put them ahead of your own needs. Amen. To go low was to go to a place to where you realize that God did not call us to be great in the kingdom about position and prosperity and power. He calls us to be great by how we serve. We talk about how you flip the script, but what the world talks about, what we're talking about, you flip the script by you willing to go love somebody who don't love you. You're willing to go forgive somebody who don't deserve your forgiveness. It looks different when you flip the script and you realize that God is calling us to go low, but he's also calling us to go love. And then we ran into the scripture. We talked about we flipped the script because it talked about not only go low and go love, but go last. Put other people before you. That's how you become great. So here we are again talking about who's the greatest. But this time, we're taking a look at Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, it says, at that time, and by the way, at this time, Jesus had just told his disciples that I'm starting my journey to Jerusalem, that I'm going to go and they're going to crucify me, but in 3 days, I'm going to get up. And on the heels of that information, they want to know who's the greatest. In fact, little different from the last time, they want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom. Who's number one? Caution about position, power, and prestige. The way the world identifies greatness is not the way Jesus and God identifies greatness. So this morning, we got to talk about it again, but not flip the script. We're going to say, surprised by God. When was the last time you got surprised by God? Please run the Rolodex in your mind about your Hope Elam stories or just the story of your life. When was the last time that you thought you deserved a thing and didn't get it? When was the last time that you were surprised by God? The thing that you thought, well, surely I don't deserve that. Surely that door was closed because of what I'd done, and he opens the door anyway. When was the last time you were surprised by God. You know what? Look, I'll say surprise, and you say surprise. Surprise.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Surprise.
Some people don't like surprises. And I'm going to tell you why. Because some people are ready for giving up on themselves. But God wouldn't give up on them. Surprise. Some people thought, well, I've done too much. I've been too many places. I said yes when I knew to say no. And I know God knows my heart, but I fell anyway. And I know that I don't deserve it. But you're sitting in here right now. God kept you when you couldn't keep yourself. Surprise. When was the last time that you were surprised by God? Because all throughout the Bible, he was surprising people. He was making dead things get up. Walking by, and just his shadow was causing people to get well. Surprise!
Surprise.
A God who came from down on glory and was born in a manger in a lowly place. They didn't know where to look for him. He wasn't born over in some sanctuary with high esteem. He was born in a manger among cows and manure. Surprise. In your life, the thing that you thought, I don't know, I don't deserve it. When was the last time God gave you something you didn't deserve? When was the last time you thought that the x-ray was surely going to be positive? Everybody was thinking it was going to be what it is. And when the doctor came in and said, no, you're good. When was the last time the son or the daughter that went wayward? The relationship was so jacked up, you knew if she wouldn't speak to you and you won't speak to her, and then she called, then he called, and your heart melted. Surprise. When was the last time? Sometimes when we're surprised, we're amazed. It is an opportunity for us to learn something about God, but it amazes us because it's not something that we think that could happen, and then it happens. We are shocked and stunned. We're flabbergasted. That means we're intensely in awe. Sometimes it blows our mind. It'll blow. Come on, when was the last time you had your mind blow because you can't believe God still gave you the thing that you didn't deserve? When was the last time you was reading the scripture and it was the same story, a story that you're familiar with, a story you've been reading, and then you read it again, and all of a sudden you saw something you never saw, and it took your breath away. Surprised by God. And so today, I think sometimes, man, I just want us to leave here and say, wow. And surprised because, one, you saw yourself in somebody else. Because what we're talking about greatness is not the world, the way the world talk about greatness. In fact, he said to the disciples, he said, first, here's what he did. He called on the question of who's the greatest in the kingdom. He called a child unto him. Don't miss it. He didn't call a child unto them. Jesus called a child unto him. Then he took the child and set the child in the midst. And I know it probably blew their mind. Well, maybe Jesus didn't hear the question. Maybe he is distracted by all the people that's following him. I don't know. Maybe Jesus is his own one. But he didn't answer the question. But what he did do, he put a child. Children at that time in the first century had no status, no influence. They had no significance, no power. They were lowly. So to take a child and to set a child in the midst talking about greatness, that didn't make sense. He flipped the script. And so for them, surprise. Hang in there, Brandon. It's going to be all right. Then he did this. He said, truly I tell you, unless you change. Come on, Hope Elam. Come on. Sometimes it's right there, and you just got to just receive it. He says to them and says, unless you change and become like a child, like children, like little children, he said, you will never even get in, let alone be great in it. That's why somebody says it's tight,
it's right.
But it's right. Jesus is like, and I'm sorry, if you an OG is like an original gangster, but it's not a bad gangster. It's just somebody who's really cool, all right? Jesus don't play. He just like, Don't even answer the question. He just said, look, he said, unless you make a change in your life, unless something happens to your heart, unless you change your ways, you change the way you think, you change the way you're moving, unless you change the way you are understanding what this is all about, you can't even get in. So he said, unless you become, which is a process, become like little children. It's their heart posture. It's their complete unwavering trust. It's the sincerity of a child that Jesus is saying to the disciples. He's saying, unless there's something that happens in our hearts that allow us to realize that we're not in control. He says, unless we don't do that, forget greatness, we can't get in. So we gotta talk about it. Unless you are converted, unless there is a time in our life, we say, yes, Lord, I see you. I don't know what tomorrow's gonna bring. I don't have it all together. I know that broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way and straight is the gate. I know, but God, I'm on that road. I'm trying, but I'm not there yet. He says, just be converted. That means there's something that changed in your life. There's something in your heart that has been turned around. And everybody under the sound of my voice, you have the ability today to change your mind. Because if he gets your heart, come on, we say it all the time. If he gets your heart, he's going to get your habit. If he gets your heart, he's going to get your hang up and your headaches and all your hardship. He'll walk with you and talk with you. But he says, mature. He said, there are times in our lives we know better, that we've been in and around the world. We have people who's pouring into us. He said, at some point, we got to learn. Stop bumping our heads on the same thing. Mature in our faith. He says, a metamorphosis is a change. Something's got to shift. Something today has got to shift. It doesn't matter if it's a small shift. It doesn't matter if it's a small thing. But something has got to shift. We've got to do some things different. Whether you like surprises or not, maybe today God is saying, surprise, I see you. I've been seeing you. I've been keeping you. I've been waiting for you. And he says to us, we must be born again. Be converted. So John 3, you can read it. In John 3, the Gospel of John, Nicodemus came on the scene. Nicodemus was a Jewish religious leader, a part of the Sanhedrin Council. Jesus had often called them hypocrites. But here comes Nicodemus, a Jew. But he came to Jesus at night, undercover. And when he got there, he said, Rabbi, teacher, he's speaking for the council, we all know that you came here to teach us because of the evidence of the miracles. He said, so we know. Jesus, the OG, he's like, unless you be born again, you can't even see the kingdom of heaven. Not get in, you can't even see it. Nicodemus was like, well, I'm sorry. How in my old age can I go back into my mother's womb and be born again? Jesus is like, I'm telling you what I know. He might have said, verily, verily. I don't know what he said, but he said, I'm telling you, unless you be born again of water and of the Spirit, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. He said, human life can reproduce human life, but the only thing that can produce spirit is the Holy Ghost, can produce spiritual things. Jesus said, it's like the wind. If you read it, he says, it's like the wind. Nobody knows where the wind comes from. And they don't know where it's going. That's how the Holy Spirit is. Nobody knows who it is in and where it is, because you can't put your finger on it. Only God knows. He says, so you can't say, well, he's got it, she's got it. He said, you don't know where it is. So he said to all of us, he said, listen, nobody has gone from earth to heaven and then returned. But there is somebody. Jesus, who came down 40 generations from heaven, and his name is Jesus. He knows exactly what it takes. And the Bible says, unless he be, like Moses lifted up the bronze snake in the wilderness, unless he be lifted up, and if he does, he'll draw all men and women unto thee. What am I talking about? Listen, okay. The kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. Sometimes we think the kingdom of heaven is a destination to go to, when really it's a destiny to belong to. Because once you understand that once you say yes to Jesus, that the entrance into the Holy Ghost and to the kingdom of God has already begun. He is coming back for the return. Yes, he is. He's going to finish it all. But he says, on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So what does that mean? That means when you are subjecting yourself to the reign and the rule of the one who's in authority in his domain. Since he is God and God all by himself, he is the one that it is his kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. So when you say yes, Lord, and the Spirit of God, whether you know is alive in you or not, when you say yes, the promise is that God deposits his Holy Spirit in your heart, and it just sups with you, it dwells with you, and it sits with you, and it lets you know right from wrong, truth from error, and your journey in the kingdom has begun. So it is not necessarily a destination. Yes, that is coming, but that's not what you have to wait for. It is right here,
right now.
Right here,
right now.
And I'm saying to somebody, listen, the only way you can get in is that you repent. Only way. Become childlike. When you understand that we're subject to the reign and the rule of the one who's in authority, the scriptures talk about it as confession, which is called repentance. So when we repent and we say, God, I'm sorry, and we accept him as our Lord, our ruler, our God, he's the one that provides salvation. But we need a childlike faith. A child who is unwavering. A child who puts all his weight. When a child who holds his hands up or her hands up and want to be picked up by his father or mother because they trust that when they get scooped up, that they got them. Become childlike. Not only reborn and repent with humility, but we got to be willing to return. Yes, sometimes we're going to fall when we know better. Yes, sometimes he died for that too. So if you're here today and you're going this way and you know that ain't the way you ought to go, and the Holy Spirit has given you clear indication, how low do you have to go before you get up and turn around? He wants childlike faith. He says childlike, not childish. There's a difference. Childish, we're just stubborn. We know the truth. We know what's gonna happen when we pick up the phone. We know if we turn on the screen. We know if we do this or do that. We know because we are mature in some things of this world. But we're stubborn because we want instant gratification. Turn it off. Throw it away. Do what you got to do to get to the kingdom. Stubborn. I'm not saying you're stubborn. We are stubborn. But can I tell you something? If you're here and you think that you're too far gone, that you're too, like you are an abuser. When you do something, you get all the way in it. Like you are in it. You are, if you're going to do it, you're in it. And you think, well, I'm too far gone. Can I tell you something? That's exactly the one that God needs. That's how Paul was. Yeah, that's exactly how Paul was. And when he was converted, they couldn't stop him. You sitting in here today, you think that you're too far gone. Surprise! You're the one that's going to change this world upside down because you're stubborn enough to keep going, to give God everything. Not a portion, everything. Surprise! Childhood, you become selfish. It's like, you know, yeah, I know. You got people in your family. Watch this. If you don't deal with the situation, it becomes part of your generation. And that which is not transformed is transferred. Selfish says that I know the truth, but I ain't gonna give it to nobody because I ain't right myself. Are you kidding me? He says, if you got the good news, if you got the seed of God, spread the good news. He said, stubborn, selfish, and sometimes, come on, saints of God, not here at Hope Elam, but sometimes we get spoiled. We get spoiled in that. I know God's got me. He knows. And We get spoiled and because things are still working in my favor. And we think everything is good. Well, it is good because all things work together for good. But God wants us to become like a child. He wants childlike faith, not childish. What am I talking about? Immature. Know better, but don't do better. Foolish. Naive. Silly. Stupid. Stuff that we know we ought not do, we keep doing it. Because the hand of God still keeps us there. He keeps protecting us, keeps keeping us. Instead of entering into the kingdom and walking in the newness of life, understanding that greater is he that is in me than he's in the world. I don't have to do the things that I was doing. I don't have to go to those same places. I don't have to think that way. And Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke like a child. I reasoned as a child. I did childish things. But when I became a man, he said, I put away some childish things. If you want to know where to land the boat or the plane or whatever we're going to land today, three things, faith, hope, and love. He said, that's what we got to land on. That becomes something that we flip the script and we overcome our childish ways. Okay. So I think when you're preaching, there should be encouragement. There also should be challenge. Because in the hand of God is both grace and mercy, and there's also judgment. Beware, the Bible says. If you cause any one of these little ones to sin, but if you cause one of these little ones who trust in me, he says, in him, to fall into sin, it would be better, let me read it, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and drowned in the depths of the sea. Now, he did not come, Jesus did not come to condemn the world. He came to save the world. There's nobody he's saying this is going to happen to you. What he is saying, sometimes we sing songs and we dance around, and sometimes we think, oh, we've spoiled. We're at play. Sometimes he's got to get our attention. Sometimes he's got to hit us where we get it. He says, sometimes beware of pride. Because, you know, pride goes before destruction and before the fall. So pride, he said, beware that you don't look down on anybody, especially the little ones, especially the children, especially those. Why? I got to get to the why. I know I ain't going to get to it. Children are a blessing, not a burden. I know it gets frustrating sometimes. I got three. I'm telling you, it gets mind-blowing. Like, stop it. Frustrating and all the stuff, but they are a blessing. They're a blessing from God. They're our blessing. They are. He says, become childlike. Don't be childish. And also, there's a becoming, a process of becoming Christ-like. And he said, this is a resembling and showing of the Spirit of Christ in the things that we do. Now watch. Ephesians, first he talked about the fivefold ministry. To some he gave prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists. He said, then so that they can grow up into the head, which is Christ. Then he said, so we no longer be immature, tossed to and fro by all the stuff in this world, all of the different ladies' fad. We're all over the place. He says, so we stop being tossed to and fro by everything. We don't know what we're doing. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love. And growing into everything that leads them into the head, which is Christ. I'm going to land this plane. Now wait. Surprised by God. The question was, Jesus, who's the greatest in the kingdom? And Jesus took a child. He called a child to himself. And he put a child in the midst. And he said, unless you change, unless you be born again, you won't enter. You won't even see. You won't even enter. Then we see here, children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 127 is so sweet. But here's the piece. He says, children born to a young man are like arrows in his quiver. And he said, how joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. All I'm saying is that children in the eyes of God, They are a gift. They are a blessing. They need to be aimed. They are arrows. Proverbs 22:6 said, train up a child the way they should go, or point them in the way they should go, or give them the direction they need to go, and when they get older, they're going to be right on time. He says, so they're arrows, but we got to point them in the right direction. Come on, dads. Come on, dad. Ephesians 6:4, it says to dads, it says, do not provoke your child to anger. And children, you've got to go back. Ephesians 6:1-3 says, obey your father and your mother. When you get a chance, check out Psalm 128. And I'm not just throwing out scriptures. Check it out, because it says this. When a man is faithful, the blessing that he receives, if he's married, he said that the wife will be a fruitful vine. It says it in there. And he said their children will be like olive trees around the table. Olive trees. The kids will be like around the table. They will always be needing to drink, always absorbing, always growing, always needing protection, always needing provisions. But when we do it and we take care of them, then they move on in that way. The responsibility is ours. They are a reward. They're a gift, but it also says, look, all these babies, listen. This is Hope Elam. It's not all of them, but they're here. And today, we're going to honor them. We're going to honor them. And I'm telling you that our responsibility is to let them know that they're a blessing, not a burden. All of these kids, they're like little eaglets. Waiting to be cared for. A child, unless you're born again and become like a child, us. And then when you are new in the faith, you need someone to care for you. The same responsibility we have for a child, we have for a new convert. And the same that the reason why Jesus said, and I'm getting ahead of myself, that when you receive a child, you receive me. Do you remember who went on the cross? You remember how he came unto us as a child? Do you know why he was able to allow for himself to go all the way through with it? Because he humbled himself to his daddy like a child. All of these children, you can let them in. If you're here and you are a prayer partner, you're a prayer partner. You're part of the prayer team. Will you please come and take a position up front? Thank you, Larry. Thank you. If you're a prayer partner, come on, Brandy. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Pastor. Will you please let them in? Today, we are going to let our kids know and our children know that they are to the glory of God, that they are the crown. It talks about grandchildren are the crowning glory of the aged, and the parents are the pride of their children. And sometimes, because of life, we don't always let our children know how much we love and adore them. If you want the answer to the question, first of all, let me not get too fast. What they need and what we need is a firm foundation. Because when life presses later on, they need to be able to return to this moment and know that people love them. So, these are our babies. One day, there were some parents who wanted to take their children to Jesus to have him pray for them. And the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. He said, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. Listen, I hope that everyone can hear my voice. Can you please hear? You are the greatest in the kingdom. That God loves you so much that out of everything that all of us are trying to be like you, because you are the greatest in the kingdom of God. I want you to know. So anyone who becomes like a little child can be great too. But today, the real, the Hope Stories is about our babies. And we have plenty up here. And as Tiff, we're going to trust you. You're going to send them on where they need to go. But as the choir gets ready to bless us with firm foundation, let these people pray. It could be short, it could be long, but just receive it. Because you are the greatest in the kingdom of God, all of you and all of us. But you are our example. And that's why we love you so much. You are a blessing. You are not a burden. You are a blessing. You are not a burden. Amen. Amen. All right. If you're, we're going to go 6 through 12. Watch this, 6 through 12. If you want to come up during this process after this, come on up. And after that, if you're here and you like, child of God, want to come like a child, we're going to be right here praying. But they go first. Amen? Let them come. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elim, follow us on Instagram at hope.elim or visit our website at hope-elim.org.